like the meme of the bird holding the things like to tell jokes, and everyone's like, get new material, and then like all of his cards just say brother. In the immortal words of the Iron Sheik, fuck the Hulk Hogan. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it every single person I can get to listen to this show's problem. This week, we have a returning esteemed guest, and it is...
I'm esteemed? Hi, guys, it's Blue. Oh my gosh, I feel so special.
Instead of steamed hams, it's steamed blues.
I love it.
Esteemed Blue is back. It's the return of the Batusi.
Hi.
And we're just gonna jump right into it because we're like, you're chopping at the bit.
I'm excited. It was so a good episode.
I would say hi, how are you? But you're how are
how
you?
How high are you?
Excited. Oh, that too, if you want. I don't judge. I don't keep track. I mean, maybe.
Oh yeah,
funny
no.
Too. That'd be funny. All right, everyone, and entry exam.
Hit this and call me in 5 minutes.
We gotta see where your baseline is.
That's right.
So we can judge how the wrestling affects you. Okay. But yes, Nitro. Apparently I gave you the best Nitro.
I was excited for it.
So let's get into that.
Let's do it.
Live the day after World War III, Macho Man is heavyweight champion again.
Yes.
More importantly, though, Mongo and Pepe look amazing.
Can we talk about the animal print? I was so excited. I was like, is the dog back? The dog's back. Yay. I was so happy. And the cute little animal print. They make me smile. They do.
The dog has been getting even more powerful, really.
I love it.
Bobby also looks fantastic. He's got his little Japanese flag that popped.
I was like, why are we holding? And he would just occasionally, it was so funny too. He would just occasionally pick it up and wave it and just this stupid ass grin at the camera. I'm just like, sir, someone told you to do that, I'm sure. But
well, yes, he's getting paid. So the last couple weeks, for those who've been listening along, Bobby has been getting in good with the Japanese delegation from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and him and Sonny Ono have exchanged envelopes of, we're assuming, monies. And you know, so he's the American liaison to the Japanese.
He did say many, many times, they're good friends of mine. They're good friends, but they're good friends of mine. I'm like,
they're
okay,
good
sir.
Friends. Sonny Ono sir. Is not a friend to anybody. Like, real here, cripes. But yeah, it's my so they get going, like Mongo says some shit, and literally I have no idea what the end of the sentence was. And even the closed caption, I don't know, Blue, if
it
you watched
it. It literally said indistinct. Yes, like it could not pick up what he said.
It's just, I don't know at either, all. Man. At like, all. Mako's speaking in tongues.
I mean, doesn't he always?
Yeah, but I have to admit, like I did last week, that I have become Mongo-pilled. He is an agent. He's an agent of chaos, and once I accepted that, I can appreciate that, like... What? Fuck yeah, Mago speaking tongues. That's funny.
No one understands him, but he's here and he makes people smile, so it's okay.
It's okay. It's better than what we Dusty Rhodes. I love my American dream, but he literally just doesn't say anything that makes sense. And that's only for the pay-per-views though, so that's fun. Hogan has returned to his red and yellow. Thank fuck.
Hulk Hogan cannot remember shit. That entire first little segment of him ripping off those clothes and burning them and whatever, he was reading. You could see his ass reading the cue cards the entire time.
You think so?
The entire time. Bless his heart. Can't remember shit.
I can't blame him. He's probably gotten a lot of head trauma. Still no mustache though, which
he looks so weird without a mustache too. I said that later. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Ever since Kennedy made a point of it, I've legitimately been putting the content warning in the notes that if like you'd be
that's
warned,
hilarious.
Be warned, you're gonna see his upper lip and it's wrong.
Weird.
He's moving on though from his sad boy era. where he was trying to maybe be a tweener, almost bad guy, and wearing black and being sad. And at one point he had a sword, and I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
In the immortal words of the Iron Sheik, fuck the Hulk Hogan, but at least he's the Hulk Hogan again. I'll take that. Yeah.
So I did start to, I tried my hardest.
I believe you.
To keep count of how many times he said brother. I tried very hard. I got to 11 and then I lost count. Holy, I forgot. So.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. I know it gets real weird later. I took.
Well, he says it like every sentence, like every fourth word was brother for a minute. And I was just like, my guy, my brother, are you.
My brother.
Are you. What's going on?
You need a new thing. It's like the meme of. It's like the meme of the bird holding the things like to tell jokes, and everyone's like, get new material. And then all of his cards just say brother, and he's like sweating.
Yes, exactly. Brother,
dude.
Oh, I forgot about the dude.
Brother, dude.
I did. Dude, brother.
But he's got Sting and Macho, his brother and his dude. Yep. He burns the clothes. Sting says it's gone for good. I say give it 7 months. NWO's around the corner, kids.
That's funny. That's funny. But,
oddly enough, though, like it wasn't just me. As they're pulling away, Macho saying, "You're wrong."
Yeah, they did. That's funny.
And I was like, "Holy shit, Randy! What do you know, man?
What are you hiding?"
The Slim Jims give him supernatural powers. yep. But that's Johnny funny. Be Bad Time then, yeah.
Oh my god, this man's cape. This man's cape. It's honest, it's pretty cool. I'll give him that. Yeah. He said that to I saw that. It said that I'm in a bad mood, and my first immediate thought was, I exist in a bad mood. Calm down. Like,
welcome. You want a jacket or a cookie or something?
Exactly. Exactly.
Life is a bad mood. Get a helmet, Mero.
It is a nice cape, and the little butt flap on his it says bad. Okay, with two D's.
With two D's, that's his name, Johnny B. Bad.
Johnny B. Bad.
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 And he's got Kimberly the Diamond.
That's what I said too. I was like, why does he get a call girl?
Well, he stole Diamond Doll.
I figured that out.
I
figured that out. And then, and then he starts chucking frisbees into the fucking audience. That would be my gimmick. I was frisbees, that'd be my thing. I love that. And then he did another one, and then he did another one, and then he did like four. I was like, sir,
where are you hiding these frisbees?
Thank you. I was like, where are you hiding these frisbees? And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to know where you're hiding those frisbees. Don't tell me.
In the mysterious cave. Maybe.
Don't tell me.
I have no idea. Right. Kimberly's pleased, though, and she's really great because, like, the last like 12 weeks that we've been watching this, Kimberly has been miserable and uncomfy because she's been with an abusive asshole name of Diamond Dallas Page.
Gotcha.
And so she's been all sad. So when she comes out and she's like super happy, it makes it even better. It makes the whole act work even better because she's been doing such a job of like pretending she hates her husband.
Right.
And Kimberly even gets to do the pop gun, and it's like, yes.
She did. That was awesome. And there was money in that.
Oh, yeah. Let women do Wednesday. There was money in
that. That's cool.
Yes, it's socialism. They're sharing. They're spreading the wealth.
It's socialism.
It's socialism. It was a rough week, Blue. I'm trying to get the lefty in where I can. It was bad. DDP, though, has... You are here for DDP's beginning of his next evolution, and I'm so happy for that.
Okay.
Because he used to be the diamond-themed superhero. And it was like this diamond singlet, and he's dropped that, and he's back to just the long tights and the vest. And
the pants. The pants were nice. The diamond on the butt and the dick were a little much, but it's cool.
Well, that used to be a whole suit, and he looked like a superhero.
Okay.
But now he's returning to his I'm a scumbag roots, and he's going backwards. It's really good.
Okay.
So, yeah, someone touched him with the scumbag stone, and he is doing his evolution. And soon he'll have his scars back and shit. And I'm looking forward to it, because we're 13. You're episode 13, by the way.
Oh, that's a good number.
Yeah, right? But I thought you might. I didn't want to stereotype you, but the one with the blue hair and the pronouns. But yeah, but yes, the this 13-week arc has been great, because like I'm realizing that I was correct. I like DDP. Like, I've always just kind of liked DDP.
Fun.
He's super good at this.
The whole match was just fun to watch too. Like.
It was quick,
and it was another one of those matches where one guy kind of does all the work, but then the other guy wins.
Yeah,
but it was still entertaining. I think.
But
it was
they told a whole ass story. Yeah, it might have been the cape. It could have been the story, but it's likely the cape.
It's probably the cape.
But they did a whole soap opera in like a 4 minute.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like he brought her flowers and she was emotional. Like,
because, oh my God,
there was like a chain in it and she chucked it.
It was jewelry, like Heening said. At one point, he gives her flowers to distract while he cheap shots Marrow Giant Be Bad. And she, like, okay, here we go. She pulls out this huge chain that's obviously a foreign object to be used in this match, and Heenan, being Heenan, calls it a sterling silver bracelet.
Possibly
an anklet, you know, because totally the heel can't do anything wrong, you know.
Totally not a giant fat ass chain that somebody is going to use against somebody.
Totally not. And I mean, Heenan, maybe I don't know the clubs he goes to. Maybe that's an anklet. But DDP calls for it. She tosses it under his legs and Marrow uses it to knock him out with.
Yep.
Right. The ref apparently is just wearing blinders this whole time, but Marrow gets the three. So that's fine.
Crazy.
Right.
Crazy.
And the whole time, like, the camera was on her, on Kimberly. Was.
I know. And that's why I said too, I was like, I would love for two guys to theatrically fight over me.
Right. And that was all it was just this great little thing. It was a fun little soap opera-y match that they put together.
I
enjoyed that greatly. I am sorry, listeners, but we have very active guests on the pod this week. Poor yes, going pixie, you have to tell your daddies that you're famous. But yeah, it's good. Mago says not to change the channel because there's going to be some chaos tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that screenshot from Darth Marenghi's Dark Place where he says, I know some writers that use subtext and they're all cowards. And I'm like, there you go, subtlety, my guy. Like, Mago is on that. He's like, I'm telling you to don't switch to Raw because we too can do wild things.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows about. Yeah. But then we get Sullivan and Jimmy do an exposition with their little previously on about World War III.
Mm-hmm.
It appears Sting might be talking some sense into the evil Dungeon of Goon. And that's good. Luger, drama, character arcs, cinema.
We love it. We love it. Exposition.
Exposition. But then the thing that is like, oh fuck yeah, I don't know about you, but we get back for commercial and they're like, tag team action. I'm like, okay, women's tag team action. I'm like, oh yes,
Japanese women tag team, Lego
Joshi time, let's go.
Oh my god, I was so, this entire fucking, like, I that was one of the first ones, and I'll say it again when we get to Raw, but these matches were, like, I sat down and shut up. Like, I watched these. They are so good. They are so good. They are better. Those eight Japanese women that I watched wrestle were better than any of those white men that got in that ring. Okay.
Well, seven Japanese women and Alundra Blaze. Well, good. But I feel like Bull Nakano and her have a thing. She's like honorary Joshi.
She has to be. You could tell. You could tell the way they work together. But
They did not work together. Bull Nakano was in this WCW match. She was in Raw.
But you're talking about somebody different.
I'm talking about a whole different thing. I'm combining them because there is a through line here between our two episodes, Blue. They got they got JWP folks on Raw as well, and like the whole I mean they always kind of did.
Yeah.
Because Alondra Blaze and Bull Nakano do have like a history. Bull Nakano was a WWE Women's Champion at one point. Okay. Won it off of Alondra. Actually, this year, Bull Nakano, who we saw in WCW, she had the spiky Frankenstein hair.
She was awesome.
Fuck yeah. Bull Nakano is amazing. Bolu, as Alondra calls her, because Alondra Blaze inducted her into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. And it was actually
so cool.
It was really beautiful.
That's really neat.
Yeah, and yeah, so like it was really cool. And Alondra came out and they were totally emotional. You get to see a bunch of them.
Yeah. That's you so cool.
See a bunch of they showed like a bunch of clips of them fighting, and like you know how in the match Bull does that hair throw where she grabs him and like throws him and they like
you around by her back hair. To back one time. Yep. Twice. Yep.
Nobody takes that. Oh my
God.
No one takes that move, in my opinion, like Alondra Blaze.
That is insane.
So they didn't hook up this week, but they were both working this week, and that made me really happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have so many things to say here. They make the hotel room joke of like, you know, about coming to, can you imagine seeing this?
The misogyny is so bad.
Here's the thing, though. There's a reason I think why they specifically made that, and I think this is going to please you, Blue. So first of all, we should be good about this. First outcomes Cutie Suzuki and Mayumi Ozaki. That's awesome. Great. Woo.
Adorable. Cutie is I was rooting for them hard too.
Oh yeah, and they have like I love their double team shit, but we'll get there. Because you need to know about this. Two of the best to ever do it come out, Bull Nakano, as we mentioned, and Akira Hokuto. Now,
holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This ain't even her final form. She comes back out at one point, Blue, looking like a Morton Joe from Fury Road. It's fucking awesome. I love Akira Hokuto so fucking much, but the hotel room door joke, right?
Yeah.
Could very well be because of lived experiences. Because a little bit before this, WCW did a thing where they actually went to North Korea. Hogan didn't want to go. Ric Flair did. A bunch of other guys did. But they took a bunch of American wrestlers to North Korea with a bunch of NJPW Japan guys with Antonio Inoki and all them. And on that trip, Akira Hokuto hooked up with her husband, who we saw a couple weeks ago, our biggest boy of the Japanese delegation, Kensuke Sasaki. Apparently they were loud and prolific, Blue.
Okay.
The whole goddamn time.
So oh my Lanta.
Whole hotel spent like the weekend listening to these two fall in love, let's say. Damn. Yeah, so they even mentioned, like, by the time that it comes around that, they are married now.
Oh, that's funny.
She uses his finishing move at the end of the match, the fisherman brainbuster.
Okay.
Right, so, like, there's just so much going on in this match, Blue, and it's so great. But the double teaming from the littler group against, like, the monster, big, meaner
guy. Oh, my gosh, girl. It was so good.
When they do the stomp from the top, like they're puddle jumping.
Yes. That's so what I said. The bull's hair, loved how they did that. This tiny bitch with the suplex, though.
Oh my God, right?
There's Beauty so with wild. The suplex. I can wait. I just. And then who was it? Was it Bull that sat on her?
Yeah, like and fell I was down like,
can
on
you
her.
Can you sit on me like that, please?
Exactly. Like, no, this you are the second guest to make that. Just sit on me like that.
Pretty please. Please,
goals.
Oh my God.
Bolu, I love you, Bolu. Bolu-san, please. Mm. She's so amazing.
And I knew Bull's team would win, but I wanted Cutie to win so bad.
Fucking A. But they're so good though. And like
they were all phenomenal. Like I said, they were all better than all those white men.
And here's the
ring, like.
And here's the thing to really say, though, and something I noticed in this, and I kind of see it later, that is put on by this whole match. This is like basically modern wrestling. Like if you watch this match, they're doing what the guys do now.
Yeah.
And like Japanese women kind of sort of invented modern wrestling and we're watching it.
Yeah.
Right now.
You can like tell. You can tell.
All the same moves. Like,
yeah.
Our guest Erica brought this up as well, that like it's like common knowledge that if you see a really cool finisher nowadays, there's a good chance a Japanese woman was doing it in the 90s.
Yeah.
All the way up to Akira hits Cutie with that fisherman hook brainbuster, the Sasaki finisher, and like so good and just fuck, what a match. I'm so happy you got to see that.
It was awesome. Me too.
Yeah, like that kind of shit is like, no, this is why I love pro wrestling. And to know that they are all, every woman in that ring is so badass for so many different reasons that I could have spent the whole episode just talking about the four of them. And then we haven't even gotten to fucking Aja Kong and Raw. So
right.
It gets better. Yes. At first we have to eat more of our vegetables, I guess. Because Hogan and Hugh Morris are happening.
Hugh Morris is my ex as a wrestler.
Yeah.
Yes.
More so
Hugh
than
Morris, I was like, God damn, that's Nathan if he was a fucking wrestler. I'm calling it right now.
Bill DeMott is his true name. He's a large joker, basically. Is his
big ass dude.
It's just big joker. He just giggles and thinks pain is funny. And it's all right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he eventually gets fired from being a trainer for being too racist and calling people the F slur. So I don't have, he'll have that. But again, 90s wrestling, they're all monsters.
Yep.
But sure enough, then American made, out comes Hulk.
Oh boy.
Bischoff drops the big boy's line and calls Hulk the biggest boy. And I say bullshit. Macho Man called dibs on that in like the first episode of the show.
Right.
Macho is the biggest boy. I will fight you, Eric. I will fight you. But folks are cheering Hogan again, so his little weird tweener sad boy face did the trick. Yep. Basically, he got real weird there for a while, and everyone's just like, thank fuck, that's over. We'll cheer for you again.
That's funny. Whew,
right? Heenan keeps calling him the former champ and making a point to get that in.
Yeah. I noticed that.
Hater Death amongst just, haters.
Just does not look great without a mustache.
It's so wrong. It
just does not look right without the handlebars. And then both of those men are so fucking tall. And then also in the same breath, why the fuck is Hulk Hogan so goddamn tan? It looks fake.
It's constant because look into the man's sight. Like, I don't know how else to put it. I know too much about Hulk Hogan. like, thanks to the way I am, how I am about this very thing. It's why you're here. It's why this thing exists.
Right.
But part of that is knowing too much about Hulk Hogan and listening to podcasts by people who know way too much about Hulk Hogan. So I've heard, like, I've literally heard transcripts of him in various trials. Like, I am far too familiar with how his brain works, and he literally thinks that being tan makes you, like, trustworthy. Like, he trusted a doctor to work on his back and do surgery and shit because, you look trustworthy, you're tan. Those are words he said.
Tan.
He said that under oath. Like, so, like, that's what I mean. He's that tan because he thinks it makes him a good person.
Okay.
So, yeah, anyways, he gets hungry and gnaws on his head. Yeah, blah. Hugh does some cool shit with the corner camera. That was pretty cool. He, like, does a jump up, spin around guy.
Yep.
So, for a big dude, he can move. That's his thing.
The backflip, though.
The moonsault. That's his killer.
Backflip. Oh, my God.
Big dude moonsaulting is always delightful. But Hogan kicks out, of course, because it's Hogan.
Yep.
It's getting shit in time. Right hands, big boot, leg drop, buck from the club.
That was honestly, like, for a Hulk Hogan match, I don't know why. I guess because it's Hulk Hogan, and I don't know where they are in, like, his career at this moment. But, like, for a Hulk Hogan match, it was a little anticlimactic, and I expected more.
Buddy. Here's the thing that we are probably all gonna learn. There are very few what I would call good Hulk Hogan matches.
Okay.
Cool. Hulk Hulk rode. Hulk, like, he can work. Here's the thing. He can work. There are videos you can see on YouTube. I know, kids. I get it. Where he's in Japan, and he can work in Japan. But, mm-hmm. like, he has his shit he gets in. And, yeah. like, that's it. Like, a couple weeks ago, or it might have been last week, he had a match where he did a suplex on the outside on the concrete. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. Like, that's not a thing Hulk Hogan in 95 would be doing. Like, right. Because he's old and shit. Like, you know, yeah. he's already old. Sad thing is, this is still not really near the end of his career because he just keeps going for too long. I mean, fuck, he was at the RNC. Jesus. So, like, yeah, he's Hulk. But his matches kind of all go this way. They gotcha. Can be great, but... the guy's going to hit his finisher, in this case, the big old moonsault flip. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to kick out. He's going to do three right hands. Yep. He's going to hit you with the boot. He's going to drop the leg. He's going to get the 1-2-3, and then he's going to mug for the crowd.
He did, this yeah.
This is it. This is why people were booing him, though, is because that's all he can do, and people are starting to sniff it on him.
Gotcha.
So then he did the tweener thing to try to shake it off, and sure enough, crowds are easy. The folks are into it again.
Yeah, dude, they were fucking hilarious too.
Right? The fans were on fire everywhere this week, and we're getting more signs again, which is like at 2 weeks after I give up on sign of the week, they start going, all right, let's do signs. And I'm like, you mother fuckers. Like, I'm yelling at you in the past. But Hulk takes us to commercial. We find out Sting and Luger, the original best friends, versus two of the four horsemen, Arn and Pillman, so that could be fun.
Yep.
First, Mean Gene gives us the world champ, the biggest boy, Macho Man Randy Savage, and I strap in for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if you mm-hmm. could. If you will. Oh, yeah.
If you will.
So, yeah, he's on top of the mountain. He promises a reign of terror. Mm-hmm. He tells us to snap into him. Let's okay. go. Yeah, you know, this is where he's at. But Hulk comes out to interrupt, and I'm, like, sad because he was on a roll. But right. then I'm unsad because, in reference to your counter, he comes out, and the first thing he does is say, brother friend.
Mm-hmm.
Brother friend.
Yep. Oh,
one
I know.
Word. One yep. word almost. Just no, brother no friend. Space. Brother nope. friend. I am dying, Blue. What is his... It's almost like... It's like he has brother Tourette's. I don't know if that's okay to say, but...
I told you, I got to 11 and I lost count. Like, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
Barely halfway through the episode, brother.
I know. Friend. I know.
Yeah. So he insists he's been screwed and goes to show us on the tape, and it goes to mm-hmm. Snow, which I find funny, but I'm guessing... Right. I'm guessing they did that to sell the replay they mentioned tomorrow
absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm like, okay, you know, I see you. That's all Trex. Right. And then boom, here's Giant to make things interesting, and it's chaos. It's almost like the foreshadowing from Mongo.
Yeah.
Right. Again, subtlety. Subtlety, subtext for cowards. Sting tries to save Hulk. Macho Man gets that knocked the fuck out. Hulk gets choked out. It's a wild. He kills Giant with a chair, but
the chair. Give him the chair.
And he just like continues to give it to him.
Yes, he does like seven times.
But I laugh because like he chases him out with it, and he gets him like seven literally times as he's walking him away
around the ring. Like
it's like
smacking him with this chair.
And I just think of like an old lady chasing a dog out of a kitchen
with his purse.
Like a rolled up paper, just smacking him,
chasing him down the hallway.
Bad Giant, get out of here, stinky bad Giant, nasty Giant. The commentary team though is doing conspiracy theorying about Sting yes, and such. And blah blah blah. They're like 24-hour news. That's all they do is talk about paranoia shit. And it's early in the 95s. It's gonna get worse. But we come back to the greatest 90s theme song in wrestling, in my opinion, next to the American Males. The Four Horsemen Arn theme. And just fucking wails. It's like easy listening, adult contemporary. It's so fucking good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It takes over me. I have a thing with that song. It's my favorite. But then Man Called Sting, also a good one. And Lex called Luger, and here we go. Mm-hmm. Arn goes to town right away, and within 45 seconds, huge spine buster, and yep. love it. Lex breaks it up, though, makes room for Stinger comeback.
The little, he kicks one and slaps the other one in the face. I was like, yeah. you're so funny. He's you're good at so this. Funny. He's and then there was, no, he is. He's, I just yeah. like, I mean, he was in the first episode that I saw too. I just really enjoy watching Lex Luger wrestle.
Fucking A. Lex is good. He's the entire package. It's
he
true.
Is.
But the case of point, him and Sting do the tandem military press, and that was pretty.
They cool. both
lift him up and go do the things. And I'm like, yeah,
that was cool.
No, these guys are friends. They literally work out together.
That's what I said. I was like, Sting and Lex is going to be good. Like, watching them together is going to be good.
Best friends. Mago says they should tear someone's arm off and beat them with the bloody end. And I'm like, what the fuck, Mago?
Right? Where did that come from?
That escalated quickly, my guy. And I'm reminded that maybe I shouldn't fuck with Mongo. Maybe Silent was right this whole time. We should not wait, just let Mongo be Mongo. What the fuck? I swear I'm Mongo pill. Please put the Pepe down. But Stinger gets in hits with his arm and blah blah. Stinger splash, blah blah blah. He does a death lock. Pillman goes to
that. That was my next note, and I was waiting for you to say it. You could put me in a scorpion deathlock. Anyone
me,
at all?
Me and Hoomst. Literally. But unfortunately for everyone involved in that wonderful kind of sapphic submission move, when you think about it, you know, tangle of legs, Pillman goes to the top to break it up. Lex looks like he's going to stop him, but instead kind of just pushes him into it. And, saving Arn and hurting Sting, and the paranoia continues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Luger gets distracted, misses the tag. What the fuck? They are laying it on thick. All right.
Saw that.
But it all comes to a pretty quick close. Sting does the O'Connor roll, gets pinned for the three. Basically, everyone misses it, though, because Ric Flair's coming out.
I was going to say, where the fuck did Ric Flair come from? And can we talk about, like, a fucking sweatshirt, dress pants, and loafers, my guy?
This is full. We are full on into Ric Flair in loafers and Dockers era Ric Flair.
Is that? Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. He wrestles in that?
Not as a matter of like all the time, but he has.
Oh,
for folks who are on the patron who were around for Halloween Havoc, he came out in Dockers and screwed Sting. And yeah, you can't trust Ric Flair in Dockers. Your entire Lanta. So he comes out and does his thing and looks like that. And no, this is the era where if he's not wrestling, he looks like an LL Bean catalog, and it's fine.
Yes, he fucking does. Holy shit.
He's Ric Flair. He gets to do that, apparently.
Put that man in a Beerman's catalog, and you're good.
Right. And then Hogan saves everybody, takes a swing at Luger, though, and Sting stops him, and no one trusts anyone.
Nope.
And this is what happens when you let a Ric Flair in your promotion. He starts... Everyone starts to see swerves everywhere because he's that way. He's a shitster. He's a swervester. he gets everyone swerving. Like, so Sting and Hogan, eventually they get over it. We hit commercial break. They're bros again.
Yep.
And we end the episode with the boys in the booth giving us basically a recap.
Yeah.
One more glorious look at Pepe.
And then?
And then?
And then Randy Savage dies. I'm just kidding.
Turns out he died. He turned out he died from that choke slam on the concrete.
On the concrete, please. That's literally my very last note for the episode. It says, well, Randy Savage is dead.
Yeah, well, Randy Savage is dead. Yeah, so, I mean, a good thing he became champion at World War III, which you can check the replay out. Yeah, available in watch party form at patreon.com/mnffpod. They tease a special announcement. Mongo again moves into the credits for some reason. And that's.
Yeah. and this is why we love him.
Yes, I'm still pilled. It's chaos. Yeah, the he was speaking in tongues at in the beginning of the episode, and I'm just okay. I get it. I finally get it. I see it now. But on to Raw.
Oh boy.
Yeah, last week's Raw was live and kind of a game changer. Okay. Yeah, they're doing the things. They're sure enough though. It confirms my suspicion. They're moving on to the thing where they do one live Raw and then they immediately record another one, and that's next week's. So gotcha. Last week's was live, kind of the game changer. They're doing all these things. They're starting to blur kayfabe in a couple different ways. Then Vince drives it home here with like this vignette about what happened at the end. And I just hate to give him credit, but it works.
The most, can I say, just the whatever most like. Visceral reaction when that man's face showed up on screen. It hurts now. I'm just like, ugh. Like, it's a jump scare. It's a literal jump scare. I wasn't ready for it. It just...
And this episode is so fucking bad for all... Like, this is an entire Raw of there were signs.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes. You're so right. This one, yes.
It's real bad, but I mean, it's also like, okay, this is where we are. It's gonna be, he's gonna be gone soon, thankfully.
Yeah.
At least from commentary.
At least now we know. Yeah.
And at least now we know. Yeah. But there's so a lot of it, and in the meantime, though, it's working here. They're starting to do the thing where they're blurring kayfabe, and it's kind of like. It's like the moment on the first episode of Nitro 13 weeks ago where Luger came out and the day after his contract was up. So he had literally had like Vince found out that Luger was in WCW when everyone else did.
Okay.
And that's not something you do to Vince McMahon. He don't like that. So like,
right.
That sent him for a loop. So they're like, okay, let's do this then. If you're going to blur that line, we're gonna start doing that too. So like that's a lot of what this feels like, with them using the fact that Sean actually got his ass kicked and probably got a concussion to you now turning it into this storyline basically.
Right.
And this was like historic moment where he passed out like that. This became a big deal, and now I kind of understand why. It was the first live Nitro or live Raw since Nitro debuted, and they pulled this stuff, and they did it with Diesel as well, where Diesel called out McMahon and basically called him out as the booker and said that his whole character was McMahon's idea. He said all that last week on live TV, so like we're starting to fuck with that basically. So it was like, yeah, last week was wild, kids. Feel free to go back, check it out. but it feels like the war is good and on.
I call this stuff. It's just another soap opera. Because I'm here for the action. Like I have no backstory. Like I don't, especially since you're like, hey, you want to do an episode? I'm like, yeah, what do I have to watch? And you just give me the two episodes that I watch. I haven't watched anything else. I haven't listened to anything else. I have no preconceptions. I have no backstory. I barely know who these characters are, what they're going through. Like, I just want to watch people throw each other around.
I love this, Blue. You're so pure. That's why I love having you on.
Here to watch people like suplex and choke slam each other and...
various wrestlers.
The little arguments that they have like before and after fights when they're standing in the ring and they're just like yelling at each other. I'm just like, you're all so adorable. Can someone punch someone now? Like slap him in the face. The amount of bitch slaps this week was incredible. Just a smack on the face. I was like, damn. Okay.
Remind him of the this week. You know? Yeah, well, speaking of fights, I guess we'll get right into it. Taker versus Kama for the main event coming up, trying to get his necklace. I forgot all about comma stealing his urn and melting it down to a necklace. I find
that
fucking funny.
The fact that they called it, I was like, why, where's the urn? It's a big chain. What's happening?
Yeah, because it used to be an urn. Much like my dog used to be, my pug used to be a wolf. That chain used to be an urn, and then it went through changes. But first, Rad Radford, let's go! Grudgy dude! I love Rad Radford. Louis Spicoli, he's still in WWE, but he's going to make bigger waves in ECW and a little bit in WCW. The person who brought us the Spicoli driver, which is like Death Valley driver, everyone uses it now. One of my all-time favorite moves. I love this guy. So I'm all excited because it's like, yeah, Rad Radford. I'm excited about Rad getting to fuck someone up. And then Ahmed Johnson's music hit and I realized that Rad Radford's about to have a bad time.
Listen, this man, I think, might be my favorite.
Oh, good. I love Ahmed too when I was a kid.
My God, I said this man is big.
There's just something about that dude.
This man is big.
He's a big dude.
And my God.
And like, I don't know, the outfit I always loved when I was a kid, the music I loved when I was a kid, his finisher, Coral River Plunge.
That was another, like, that was another match too that I just shut the fuck up and watched. Like, it was so well done. It was so well choreographed.
It is wild because like
people
talk shit on Ahmed, and I guess he was really green, and this is like his first big shot is what he's getting now, but they're pushing him, they make him look like a monster, you know.
He really was, yeah.
Then people really are popping for him, and that's, and that, so it's working, you know. And like
clearly
Rad Radford, Louis Spicoli is really good, and like have definitely put him over and made him look really good.
Yeah.
And like, I love Ahmed. I think he has all of that shit that like you loved him. I loved him the same reason why I was a kid. I was just like, this guy just looks awesome.
Yep.
He looks like a dude that could do this shit for real, basically.
Yeah,
the thing
exactly.
Is that he looks like that because I guess he kind of was. And it's one of those things where every story from a pro wrestler you gotta take with a grain of salt, you know.
Sure.
But there's a lot of stories from a lot of different people who worked with him that he has a tendency to be a little reckless.
Really?
And I mean, when you see that spine buster, it's like, well, the only way you make a spine buster look that good is to spine buster.
Is to actually exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, I love him to death, but also it's like that, if that's what it takes to make it look good, I guess that's why I love like Mick Foley so much, because Mick Foley would go in there and say, I need you to actually do these things to me to make it look good.
Right.
You know, but there's consent involved.
Exactly.
I guess Ahmed was always just like, he's like Vader. Like, yeah, I'm big enough that if I'm going to do what I'm going to do and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Right.
But yeah, Ahmed hits that huge spine buster on Spicoli, and somewhere in the Shenandoah Valley on Nitro Live, Arn Anderson is proud. Those are my two favorite spine busters of all time, and they both got to work this week. I'm happy for them. Good stuff. Ron Simmons has a good one too, but he hasn't shown back up around it. Well, kind of. We're going to get to Nation of Domination. We get Farouk. That's a good spine buster. But Rad tries to make the comeback and instead gets the Coral River Plunge for his trouble, basically. Mm-hmm. With a big tiger bomb that was like one of my favorite finishers growing up, and it works, and Ahmed's here. Like, this is, he's getting the push. Like, holy fuck. I'm so jazzed. I'm so jazzed I get to witness this, because I came too late for this when I was a kid.
Right.
When I was around, he'd been around probably almost a year by the time I started watching. So I was just like, as far as I knew, Ahmed Johnson was just like a legend who's been around forever, and Coral River Plunge is like a murderous finisher of great, you know, like pedigree or whatever. And like, nah, he's been around like 7 months.
That's funny.
Right? So I get to get all this context now. It's great. Jerry tries to talk shit for Dean. Dean comes out to do it himself. Dean talks some shit and Ahmed says, let's go. Ring the bell.
Ring the bell, punk. Classic.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah,
I love this man.
I love him so much. I was like, yes, give fucking put the belt on him. I don't care he's green. I don't care he's brand new. I don't care if he hurts a motherfucker. He's so good. And like holds the whole the ref's holding him back, and Abed's like getting the huge reaction from just saying, let him go, please. And he just looks so good. And it's just like, it sucks. He gets this push and he does a little bit and he's around for a couple years, but he doesn't ever get like a big, big like world title push. And it's unfortunate because I love Ahmed Johnson. I love that your reaction as a newbie to him is to just see him and go, fuck yeah, this guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
So good. Good stuff. This is why I love having you, Blue. You're that clean slate, you know?
It's a fresh ass whiteboard. I know nothing.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. We come back from commercial to King doing product placement for Twix. And of that's course. Cute, right? Natch. Of course. They still do that shit. And then we get a vignette about Sean, ye old previously on, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
They mention that he has post-concussion syndrome, and yet the chair shots to the head would continue in 12 more years, at least.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be like 2008 before they finally stop doing that shit, because, like, oh, wait, what if it's not a bit? What if it actually is a thing?
Right.
In the meantime, rest in peace to Nancy and David Benoit, is all I'll say to that. But yeah, they are leaning into the concussion story to explain Sean passing out last week.
Yeah.
They finish that up, and we get more Joshi!
I feel so honored to have two female tag team matches.
You came for a good one, Blue.
I got such good episodes.
Patreon folks, this is kind of a replay of a match that we got a little bit of on Survivor Series that was super good. They're like, all right, fuck it, we're gonna run it back for TV.
Hell yeah. So
yeah, Aja Kong and Tomoko Watanabe, two awesome motherfuckers. I love Aja Kong.
Aja Kong is a killer and a bitch.
Oh, I love her. Yeah, like fucking these two are so good and like healing it the hell up. Jerry makes a bunch of really awful comments about Princess Di.
Yeah.
And Aja Kong not worrying about having bulimia. And I hate him so much. And I want redacted, 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 redacted.
The misogyny. Redacted. The misogyny.
And it just keeps going.
It was
and some
this
racism,
week.
Too. We get some racism as well.
I mean, that to me is like a given. It's 1995. That's a given to me. Like, that's going to happen.
Bobby did it in Nitro, too. He used words that used to be very common in the wrestling parlance, specifically, but we don't use that word anymore. Bobby, I'm sorry. But Alondra Blaze comes out with her partner, Kyoko Inoue, and Jerry makes a shit-ass Yoko Ono comment, and I just want to say justice for Yoko, but that's a different podcast. But the point is, fuck Jerry Lawler now.
That's funny.
They do the quick Raw QVC with not Todd Hendricks, or Jock Hendricks, not Todd Pettengill, but the secret third guy. I never remember his name. They cut him off, though, because these women have fucking work rate, goddammit.
Facts.
We're going, fuck your shit. I spend basically the rest of this trying to ignore the commentary and watch this match.
I did too, honestly. I wasn't listening to them at all. I was just watching the girls. Like,
I had to clock out of it. I had to clock out of it. I wasn't going to get to enjoy this 5-star
match. They're phenomenal.
And it's topical stuff, I guess. I didn't look into the news, but yeah, there they go. I was going to say, I put down, you think that these misogynists would shut up and let the women cook?
Of course
but,
not.
But no.
No.
They did. But cooking, they are. This does not stop them. These ladies are fucking cooking. Which one?
The face plan. And then I found myself screaming, okay, Blondie. Okay, Blondie. Like five times, because she kept going.
The logic plays. Fucking rules.
She's amazing.
Right? And like, she works with these ladies so well. And like, you can tell she spent time working in Japan. Like, she
did.
Picks up
you
on
can tell.
It's so fucking great. And justice for Alondra. Justice for all these motherfuckers.
For all of them. They're so good.
Like, once again, these are the people who invented modern wrestling.
Yeah, you can tell too.
And you see it in here too. Yeah.
The double clothesline had me on the floor.
Oh my God, they're so good. And Aja Kong hits a huge brain buster.
They're so good.
They go to commercial and they come back right into like the comeback where Watanabe is like jumping off, and I realize yes, is not live. That was too good of timing. Mm-hmm. But so fucking great. And yeah, you get a Alondra, like I said, was the person who inducted Bull. So we get that.
That is really cool.
It made me so happy that that lined up this way for this episode. I was like, this is really sweet.
That's pretty neat.
But yeah. Oh God. I put that, if you got different commentary, I could watch this match all day.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I also had to tune them out pretty much.
Yeah. Cause finally I was just like, look, I've seen enough. I'm making it official. There were fucking signs.
Vince
continues to go hard against Dai, saying that Aja Kong is also a proponent of safe sex, but won't be getting on any condom advertisements with Dai anytime soon or some shit. However, the women shut him up because he can't even finish his joke because Aja hits Kyoko with a huge Saito suplex and drops her on her fucking head.
On her head.
Like they do in Japan and the place is on fire.
Oh my God.
And I was like jumping out of this office chair. Like fucking shut him up. Wrestle so hard that he has to stop doing it. Basically. Like Jerry tries to get on it and I don't care. Because Aja Kong hits the spinning back fist for three and I love professional wrestling. Such a great match.
It was a good one.
But then they go quickly from that joy to here's Diesel at Survivor Series, big old heel turn, blah blah blah. You know, the previously on basically
yada yada. Vince McMahon goes, either of those four ladies, I hate it here. He literally said something about being with either of those four ladies. I'm done.
He can't even English. He really can't. And he has so many words he uses that don't mean the things that he uses them as.
Exactly.
I'm so ready for him to be done. I need him done. Because this is like a 5-star classic. But I had to listen to him while it was going on and like at least get JR in there. And like, we're not ever going to be rid of Vince McMahon through this whole journey, but at least he's going to be less on commentary and more getting the shit kicked out of him by Stone Cold Steve Austin. We have that to look forward to. He bleeds a lot. At least I can get that.
That's funny.
Right. But we come back from commercial and God damn it, it's Brother Love.
Oh, Lord, this man.
How do you feel about that? Are you familiar with Brother Love?
I almost wish Ben was here just so he could describe the look on my face when I saw that man. Because oh my God, I almost checked out. I was like, what is happening right now?
God,
he said, I love you, YNW. Oh my God.
He's so bad.
I can't
Bruce
do it.
Bruce fucking Pritchard. Oh God. He still has a job there.
Talk about an actor.
Oh, he's so bad. Basically, since Vince is finally gone and from the company, Bruce is like his puppet now, I guess.
Oh, geez.
So anytime Bruce tries to like say or do anything, you know it's probably coming from Vince. Fuck him forever. Brother hate. I hate him.
Mm.
But he brings out... fun little fact, though, because you were around for some Taker, and there's some Taker here. There will be some Taker. Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love specifically, was Undertaker's original manager when he first...
Okay.
When he first came out, Brother Love was his guy. And, like, that's why he wanted to call him Cain the Undertaker, because he was going to try to make it, like, a biblical thing, like Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, he's, like, a preacher or whatever, and it's like, no, you're just a guy who looks like he got hit in the face by a blush paintball. Like, it's just all blush all the time. Brother Blush, if you will. Mm-hmm. But he brings out Bret Hart, and I'm happy, so I like the Bret. Yeah, champion, words from the champion for the first time since winning the belt. Crowd loves him. He's got that look on his face like he's super happy because he has the belt because it's all he wants, basically.
Of course.
I love the bit where Brother Love won't let him talk, basically. And it just keeps building. And I'm just like, please just punch him. Please just hit him. They have video ready for when Brett brings up losing to Bulldog. And I was like, yes, again, we're not live. Because right. That was way too well done. Giving the game away, folks. I'm guessing Brett, though, is really worried about In Your House, having to face him again. But I'm guessing he's just hoping that Bulldog can actually wrestle this time. I don't think you're familiar with the story, but the match that they were showing was them in England at Wembley. Big thing. Bulldog won. Huge historic match. We now know that the moment that they locked up in the middle of the ring for that match, the first thing that Bulldog said to him is, "Britt, I'm fucked."
Okay.
Because he had been smoking crack for 3 days and hadn't slept.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so this historic, amazing, one of the greatest all-time matches in Wembley, Bret Hart carried him through the whole thing. And basically, you can, when you know that and you go back and watch it, you can see that he's literally telling him what to do. He's feeding him spots. And, like, Bret is... That's one of the reasons where it's like, Bret's a piece of shit, too. They all are. But, like, Bret really is one of the best to ever do, because he took a guy who could not breathe, barely knew what was going on, was delirious for not sleeping and smoking crack, and got like one of the best matches of all time out of him, just right. carrying him. So like, I'm guessing like the only thing Brett's worried about is if I'm going to have to do all that work again. Hopefully not. I'm hoping Bulldog, I don't know if he'd gotten help by this point. None of it ever stuck. But in the meantime, Backlund comes and hits him with the crossface chicken wing. And we get Brother Love giving everyone a crash course in abusive relationships while Backlund gets real weird with it. God, he gets weird with it. That guy. To think that Bob Backlund was one of the last... He was the last legit wrestler champion before Hulk Hogan, basically. And so, like, the fact that when he's back now, he's this is kind of sad. But apparently, he's just sort of really like this. I guess, like, he really is just that fucking weird. So it's just him playing it up. So I don't know. He lives in, like, New Hampshire. I don't want to meet him. I would be scared to meet Bob back when I'm he might put me in the chicken wing. I don't want that to happen. But, yeah, got real weird there. We come back to Triple Paul being fancy. And Henry shows us the pigs, and I love them, and I want to meet Potbelly.
Oh my goodness.
He's like, you get to meet them. I'm like, yay! I want to meet the piggies. Because I'm easy. I love the aminos.
That's funny.
Right. Apparently Finkel got slopped, and they make sure to show us because they all hate him, and poor Fink. The most fucked with guy in the history of the business, apparently. They're feeding a jobber to Trips, and I never got this guy's name. Like, I never got his name the whole match. I just didn't get it. I've been trying to do my due diligence, Blue, and every time there's a jobber, I'll like look up their wiki and like a real journalist. And I couldn't even do it because this guy just I just call him Constellation Pants. Good stuff. He tries to make a comeback, gets caught in the pedigree, and that's that. That's all over.
Pretty much.
That is the squashiest of squash matches. Jerry Fat Shames, dude in the crowd, who was actually kind of cute in a 90s dad sort of way, so I say boo. It's like, that's bullshit. I thought he was cute. I would let him buy me dinner. Maybe drink and stuff. All right, anyway, Courtney and Owen drop a promo. With bisexual lighting in the background, and that I can't help but love it.
Yep.
We
gotta call it out now. Because you never know where you're gonna see it, and then you're gonna think about it. It's like, wait a second, let's put this into context.
Every time, and it's just my favorite, it's one of my favorite combo of colors. And it always
for sure.
And it makes me think of my weed plants because I have blurple lights.
So
every time I'm just like, oh, the babies. No, that's good. Right. But we get to our main event. Ted DiBiase's music hits, and apparently Kama is hurt on crutches.
On crutches.
Bullshit.
Gasp.
Gasp. But still wearing the urn chain.
Right.
I mean, that seems heavy if you're on crutches and you don't want to be straining yourself.
And then my next note says, who is this? Burger King? Because yes, the crown Thermo. And just the whole thing.
He does have a Burger King vibe.
Well, it really does. It's the crown for me was given yes. Burger King. Big well, time.
It's King Mabel, the last King of the Ring competition tournament.
Okay.
Mabel won, and Mabel and Mo are in a tag team called Men on a Mission.
Mom. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, because Vince has mommy issues.
Sure.
That's got to be why. I can't imagine why else. But so because King Mabel, Sir Mo, is going to get the crown too. So yeah, he comes out looking all Burger King-y. Yeah, fuck that. Jerry asks why we must always doubt the sincerity of the Million Dollar Man, and I just wave my arms around widely. Because eat the rich, motherfucker, because we don't trust these people. Look at him. Trust.
That's why.
Yeah, that's why. Well, the plus is Ted DiBiase. Look at his face. You trust him? No.
That's
funny.
Can't
do that. It's terrible. Well, thank you. I tried. we get a look at next week. Dean Douglas and Razor for the IC title. And then, boom, here comes Taker. The pop. Oh, my God. The pop. The people go fucking nuts. Holy shit. Like, I thought Brett got a big pop earlier.
Yeah.
Because he got a pretty big pop. But, like, Taker really at this point was still just that popular.
Yeah. And then to see them in the ring together, I was like, Jesus Christ, these men are big.
Yeah, he's huge.
Like, dude. What the fuck, dude? Yeah. Both of them are just massive men. Like, goddamn.
This is definitely where we're still in the age where Vince wants all the biggest boys.
You can basically. Tell. Yeah. You can tell.
If you're tall, you
compensating for something.
Probably. He just wants everyone to do as much steroids as he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, he fell in love with steroids at the same time he fell in love with Hulk, you know? Oh. So he ties the two in his mind, you know? So now he can't have his Hulk. He wants all the big beefy boys because his Hulk is gone from him. Way across the tree, screen, yeah. Way across the sea on Turner Broadcasting Networks. I reiterate my theory that the whole war is about them just yearning for each other. But
the crowd's a soap opera.
It is a real life soap opera. They just miss each other.
All a soap opera,
right? Mo is so dead. Mo, my guy, yeah. You are not Taker tier.
No.
No, so DiBiase pulls on Taker's foot to distract him. He does the thing where he gets clotheslined out and lands on his feet like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And then just goozles Deebs instead like a zombie. Like, I was going to get this guy by the throat, but now you're in front of me, so I'll just do it to you. And I'm like, yeah, hey, go here's a machine. He's dead. He's a dead man. So they give him the rest of peace chance because he's dead. And it's like taking a whole stable of heels, but this match has been, it's leaving me sports entertained, I must admit. I'm having fun with all the various fuckery and like,
them like
yeah, right? hey, sports entertainment.
Woo!
Cannot say wrestling. Vince gets sad. I love Tim White, the ref, selling how even scared of Taker he is. That's the good stuff. I will always get into that. This era of Taker is probably my favorite because everyone still treats him like he might actually be a zombie.
That's funny.
Right. And it's
kind of valid.
So
honestly, kind of valid.
Yeah.
Especially with like the face mask that he had on this episode. Like, make it like it looks like some metal, like he's got armor on his face almost.
Well, he literally does. He is wearing it to protect an injury where he got a crushed arm.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So they are playing it up like, oh my gosh, he's wearing this thing to like hide his like scary face because Mabel and Yokozuna kept dropping big fat legs on him and it crushed his face. I think it was actually a motorcycle accident or something. Like, I can't remember.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know if he actually got hurt in the ring, but it is a legit injury. So they're playing it up with the two large guys. Big dude club is what I put down.
That's what it says. Big man brawl.
Big man brawl.
I love how we were on the same page with that.
Yes. Fucking A. Big dude club comes out. Mabel tries to steal the chain. Yoko distracts him so that he can actually steal the chain.
Right.
It's so sad.
Okay. We don't need crutches, do we? Okay.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Kama can just do whatever. Yeah. Mm. Sure.
My At guy. Least work on the crutches. So dramatic.
Yeah, exactly.
So said, dramatic.
Jerry said he had a relapse and he's
back. Yes, he had a relapse. He's back on the crutches. What's going on? Oh, yeah.
All right. I'll give you that one, you chuckle fuck. Speaking of chuckle fucks, we come back from break to the chuckle fucks. And they're there to set up next week's card, basically. Tassa Boy Jannetty versus Well-Adjusted Sid, and that's Raw. Like, that's it.
That was it.
That was the hardest time I have had with a Raw so far.
With Raw, yeah.
It was rough. It was bad. And it's unfortunate because we got a great Joshi match in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, we really did.
Yeah, there was amazing Japanese women wrestling happening and Alondra Blaze being cool. Everything around
it. Both episodes. I feel so lucky.
Right. Yeah, both episodes. I guess that brings me then to, now that we're done with our little rundown, match of the week would be what we get to. And I'm having a hard time, Blue. Where did you get?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, fuck.
I'm having a hard time.
it's down to two for me.
Naturally. I'm guessing it's the same two. It doesn't involve women's tag team wrestling.
One of them does.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just because I love Lex so much.
Oh,
I really, really, really did like the tag team with Sting and Lex, like a lot.
It was a good match, too, and they did a lot of storytelling.
They deal with it, and I think that really added to it, at least for me it did. But, that first tag team on Nitro was so good.
I'm having a hard time picking between the Nitro and the Raw one, but I think I might have to... I got to give it to Akira and Bull versus Cutie.
Yeah.
And Mayuki.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning to.
The styling,
the hair, the costumes, the way they all work together, like
the double teaming between the two tinier girls versus the two bigger monsters.
Yes,
Akira's entire everything.
Yeah,
Akira is just like
her. The whole appearance everything. With the face mask was sick, but then she takes the mask off, and I'm like, God damn, why you gotta be gorgeous on top of everything?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the excuse the fuck out of me?
Yeah, right.
God damn.
Right, and like that's also like Bull being an absolute beast, and also just stunning,
just beautiful.
I loved the awesome face paint.
Face paint with like the looking like cracks with the blue across her face and the blue lipstick and the whole pink and blue thing too with them together was sick. Like
I love it, and the match was just so good.
And the match was fantastic.
So I that's my match of the week. So I mean that could be mine. And that leaves room for you to love Lex.
Okay.
And there you go. We'll call it even.
We'll go touch.
and like I've been like basically I gave up on Sign of the Week a couple weeks ago because Noble was bringing signs and now they're fucking everywhere.
And we're back. Did you pick one?
I picked one just in case.
Okay.
I don't know if you did, but I was like,
there weren't any that really
popped for you.
No, I also wasn't. I was like half paying attention to the signs.
Yeah, so. the only reason that I still have a Sign of the Week this week is because a little girl made a like I Heart Sting with like red glitter and
that's
like
adorable.
It was like glitter and glue kind of sign. And
I love it.
And I was like, that's just
very 1995.
It was so good. And I was like, I'm giving it to you, even though it's not even an actual part of the show anymore. I can do what I want
on
the show.
Goddamn right.
So, yeah, right. So that just brings us to who won this week. And I'm going to go ahead and not feel bad giving it to Nitro.
Not at all.
Not at all. I mean, like the wrestling was pretty great on Raw too, but mostly it was the one match and everything around it made me want to claw my fucking eyes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that made it really difficult to enjoy, and that's like, goddamn, I need Vince to be gone. He's a bad influence on Jerry, who's already a bad influence on
it. Right?
Yeah. Well, fuck yeah, we're on the same level here. That was fun. Thank you for coming back.
I'm glad you had me back. Thank you for asking me. It's always fun. I love it.
Indubitably, miss your face. So
I miss you too. Thanks.
And like, it's we're definitely kind of in the stretch of people coming back because they're like, wait. You have to get me in before this, and you have to get me in before this changes. And I was like, all right, hold on. Let me get around here. And I'm working out, though, because we reached this Forbidden Door era of Japanese WCW collaboration. So Erica had to come back because she knows, like, a lot about Japanese pro wrestling from the era. And it's like, okay, if this podcast has an official Japanese wrestling correspondent, it's Erica. So it made sense. And I'm happy that I picked you for this one because you had seemed to have some very good time.
I had Nitro was sick. I really enjoyed Nitro this week. It was really, really good.
Anytime that someone gets to see Bull Nakano and Akira, like that's good time. So
it's good time.
Anything you would like to promote while you're here? This is the place for promoting at this point of time in the pod.
Man. I'm still on the Fansly. I'm still on the spicy site. I've still got the Tumblr going. So, I mean, Blueberry Heartache on Fansly, spelled exactly how you think it is, all lowercase.
Yeah. I will drop Blue's link tree as well in the notes like last time. Yes, check out Blue Sing. Blue makes the things. It's good things, spicy things.
I do. Did I plug the Twitch streaming last time?
I don't know if you did.
I don't think I did. I do stream on Twitch sometimes. Right now, my most consistent night is Wednesdays, and we play American Truck Simulator, so come truck shit up with me.
Fuck yeah, hit the road with Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out, and thank you folks for listening. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social, Instagram at mnffpod. If you want to join us at the Patreon for watch parties and various other bonus goodies, you did this last time too. You're such a bad influence. Patreon.com/MNFFpod and merch. I will not forget the merch either. Garrix mid.store, GARAKS mid.store. There's lots of various mid merchandise there, but there's a whole section for Monday Night Fake Fights merch, championship belts, Dungeon of Goon shirt, two different versions of the Biggest Boy. We have Macho Man, the Biggest Boy, and we have Kensuke Sasaki, the Japanese Biggest Boy, which is the exact same shirt, but it says the Biggest Boy in Japanese instead.
You need all of it.
Yeah, right? You need all of it. Buy it all. Give us your money so I can maybe pay my guests. Hey, goals. We all have goals. But thank you for hanging out, folks, and we will see you next time on Monday Night Fake Fights. Bye!